Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thanks to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Did I say it? Yes, I did. Good morning. It's Wednesday morning. And I hope you are, I hope you're ready for a good day. I've got a great day coming up for you. The Boycott, the Patriot Boycott. Wayne Allen Root has put out a new book called The Patriot Boycott. We'll have Wayne on at the bottom of hour number three. Also, we'll talk about some fake news with our friends from MRC. Rick Manning will be with me, Americans for Limited Government. We'll get back into some of the Biden crime family stuff and his look from the D.C. perch on what may be happening with the DOJ and the FBI and really addressing the illegalities of their behavior and continued illegalities of their behavior. We'll talk about some of that. And then I'm going to talk with you at the top of the next hour. There's a piece that Dennis Prager put out, And it has to do with the Pride Month and his take on this thing. And there's some problems, quite frankly. There are some problems. And there are some problems when conservatives do conservative light. You cannot have conservatism without morality, and we'll talk about that in the next hour. All right, well, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest to the program. He is here on Wednesdays to help me kick Wednesdays off. And I want to welcome my very good friend, Mr. David Shostokas. David, welcome, our constitutional originalist.
Thank you so much, Greg. It's great to be with you again. I know we missed a couple of things, and a lot of stuff has been going on, both in the world and locally. For me, I've been in court a couple of times on two election-related matters regarding the one regarding where, you know, you said something about fake news. I did a couple of interviews since I was in court last week, and they've come to call the things that I'm involved in fake elections, you know, and one of which has to do with where supposedly the people of the state of Illinois were supposed to have amended their constitution, and yet the actual text of the amendment that we were voting on here in Illinois was not on the ballot. And there was an explanation of what that amendment should be doing, but the actual text of the amendment was not on the ballot. That's a good good thing to, I think a good phrase for that is, in fact, a fake election. And so I was in court on that last week. We're supposed to have a ruling today on that matter that the judge is going to release in court this morning at 9 o'clock. And then, of course, we have my my ongoing matter that I was in court again on in Will County, which is a county that's southwest of Cook County in Chicago. Joliet is the county seat for people that know where Joliet is. And that has to do with the fact that all 310 precincts in that county are conform to an algorithm that indicates that that's that election is predictable. And I'm supposed to have, actually, they're trying to fine myself and my client $40,000, saying that we brought a frivolous lawsuit.
I remember we talked about that 2 weeks ago when you were on. So you've had, you were scheduled to have a hearing about that the next, well, that Thursday.
Yeah, we had it last Thursday.
Okay.
You know, that hearing was last Thursday, and the amendment one was last Wednesday. We're expecting rulings on both those matters this week, and I anticipate trips to the appellate court to be coming soon.
Okay.
Because
the judge in this case is in a biased position, essentially.
Well, that's certainly not for me to say. Because
I understand. I get it. Well, but it. Okay, so either way,
if we win, I expect the other side to appeal.
I got it.
If they win, I expect us to
appeal. Either way, it's going to end up being bumped up, no matter what the decision is, because neither one of you are going to be satisfied with whatever the judge has to say, and the state feels compelled that they need to defend. I guess they're pretending to defend their integrity or their character, right?
They're pretending to defend something that they call law, you know, that they refer to as law. But certainly on the constitutional amendment thing, there are a lot of, there's some detailed law as to what is supposed to appear on a ballot for voters if, in fact, they're going to amend the Constitution. None of that was there.
Yeah,
yet they're
not the least of which would common sense would dictate that you would have the actual writing of what it is that the amendment is going to say. I mean, that would just in my thought process just be common sense to put that on the ballot, since that's what you're voting on.
Yeah, and that was not on the ballot.
That would be like, just in my mind as an example, you know, you've got three candidates that are running. that would be like leaving one of the names of the candidates off, just putting a blank space, but no candidate name.
Or better, you have the names of two candidates, and then in the third space you have candidate Y is in favor of everything you're in favor of.
Right.
An explanation of what candidate Y is. You know?
Well, and no name for candidate, no actual name for candidate Y.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair analogy of what they're trying to do with that.
Wow.
That's a fake election.
I
know we're going to talk about some Supreme Court stuff, but I will tell you
that
in both these matters, they've been subject to a motion to dismiss, and we are arguing that the manner in which the motion to dismiss is being applied is in violation of the First Amendment's right to petition the government for redress of grievances. And we are, in fact, both judges have outlined or signaled that they're trying to say that there are certain kinds of requirements for us to survive a motion that do not, and in my opinion, do not exist in law. And we believe that's a 14th Amendment violation of due process.
Wow.
And so both these cases are going to be structured, depending on the outcome, to possibly be appealed to the United States Supreme Court.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. But maybe in a year or so, we'll be talking about a case that I have pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't know.
Well, it certainly could be that. And something to add on to that, because there are a lot of issues like what you're talking about, in the sense that these legal matters, they have to go to a lower court. Then they have to go to an appellate court. Then from there they go where? Where would they go from the appellate court?
In this instance, both these cases originate in state court, in state circuit courts, which would be the trial court, and then it would be a state appellate court, then the Illinois Supremes, and then depending what happens with the Illinois Supremes, at least there would be the potential to ask for a hearing with the United States Supremes.
So it would go from so because it would be at the state's Supreme Court level, the next logical space to go would be the federal or the U.S. Supreme Court. It wouldn't move from there into a federal appellate because that system is designed in the same way. You have the lower state courts, you have a lower federal court, then you have appellate, and then you have Supreme Courts on both ends. And in this instance, it would move from the state Supreme Court to the U.S. Supreme Court.
In the federal system, you start, the trial courts are called the district courts, and the district courts go to the circuit courts. Strangely enough, the reason that they're called circuit courts is they were originally conducted, the original first level of appeals were originally conducted by Supreme Court justices who rode a circuit.
Got it.
Okay. And so now the appellate level courts in the federal system are called the circuit courts.
And they have their own set of judges, by the way, that are appointed, right? Appointed to those positions.
Yeah, they have their own set of judges, what they call Article III judges that are appointed by the president and approved by the Senate. And then from those, then there's the appeals to the United States Supreme Court.
Okay, so the reason I bring that up, David, and I wanted to highlight that for our audience is because we hear about some of these, you know, issues and hot matter cases, and even a criminal case as an example. We have the situations with, you know, Hunter Biden or Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton or what have you. There's a slow legal grind that takes place, and especially depending on the size of the fish. If you're going to try to catch a really big fish, you've got to make sure that you really have a hook in that fish that they can't jump off.
Yeah, there's certain requirements, too, that if, in fact, There was an issue that wasn't raised in the trial court, not raised in the beginning of the case. It will never get, you cannot raise it later in the appellate courts. So like I just mentioned, we're talking about the First and 14th Amendments, right. in our two cases. We're talking about those at the trial court level. If we don't talk to them about them at the trial court level,
you can't bring them up.
Never, they're gone. They're okay. Gone. And so we never. So you, if you have a thought that you think something may have interest for the United States Supreme Court, you have to include that in some way in your original case.
So even in a criminal matter, then you've got to make sure that you have everything lined up and every possible issue that you want to make sure is going to be brought to bear on whoever it is that they're, you know, that's the target of the criminal case. You need to make sure that everything is there. Because whatever isn't there, once it's done at trial level, it's done. You can't be bringing it in at the appellate level or further on up the line.
That's exactly correct. There's obviously it's law, and there's some exceptions to that, but that's the general rule.
Well, and so we're going to take a quick break in just a second, for our first break, but I just wanted to bring that up. So, because, you know, it's very frustrating, and I know you know this, but you're as frustrated as everybody else is, but it's very frustrating to watch these criminal activities. We've seen the phony behavior that's taken place, the Russia, and things of that nature. But then when we know that there's actual evidence that suggests that there was criminal activity that took place, and there's documents and there's, you know, witnesses and there's all these kinds of things, you know, like even with the Durham situation, I mean, he had two different trials and in both instances, the individuals were acquitted. You know what I'm saying? And it becomes incredibly frustrating for the average American who's looking at this. And I think that we need to recognize that there is a justice system, and the justice system is supposed to lean in the favor of innocence rather than in the favor of guilt. But that means...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But that means the prosecutor has to really make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. And every time something new pops up, they've got to pull back and say, okay, now I need to grab that and I need to investigate that because I want to make sure that that gets into the case.
Well, one of the more interesting things that you kind of referring to at the moment, if in fact somebody's found not guilty, there are no appeals for the prosecutor.
Right.
Okay. If they lose at the first level, it's over in a criminal matter. There are no appeals. It doesn't exist. And it should be, because when the government's looking to take somebody's life, liberty, or property, we need to hold them to follow the law.
So let's take a quick break on that, because the irony in that, in my opinion, is that here you have two individuals, one guy that everybody is still talking about, he lied, and yet the jury decides, nah, he didn't lie. But he is still referred to. I mean, on both sides of the aisle, in news media reports and everything else, as the guy that lied, okay? And yet the jury somehow decided that he didn't lie in spite of the fact that all the evidence suggested that he did and all the witnesses said that he did. It makes no sense to me. But you have that kind of thing going on, while at the same time you've got ridiculous nonsense charges against these January 6th people, and they are being railroaded into prison.
Yeah.
We'll be back. More Chosen Generation Radio coming up straight ahead. My guest, David Chistokas, as we continue. We're going to get into some Supreme Court. We've got affirmative action. We've got an election issue. We've also got a marriage issue that's coming up that they're going to decide on, and we'll talk about all that right after this.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your ClanSlate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your ClanSlate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And my very special guest is our constitutional originalist and my good friend, Mr. David Shostokas. David, again, welcome. Good to have you with me. Well, there's a lot to unpack with regards to this. My overall point, I guess, in trying to bring it up was just simply to say that the wheels of justice grind forward slowly. If you're on the side where you're the grindee, you know that you're glad for that. If you're on the side and you're the grinder, it could be frustrating. And for the people on the outside, depending on which side of that you are on, it's either, you know, well, it's painstakingly aggravating when you know you're innocent and yet the wheels of justice keep grinding on you and you have to, you know, get to that place of finally getting acquitted. By the same token, if you're on the other side and you know that you're dealing with guilty people, you know, you're like, man, we've got them. Let's nail them. Let's bring down the rule of law upon them. And I guess the point of it is that because of our system being set up, you mentioned Jefferson talking about the system, and we talked a little bit about, you know, the grand jury system and the power of the grand jury, but more significantly, how that levels the playing field.
Yeah, that's what they're designed to do. Both the juries, the grand jury, which of course traces its history all the way back to the Magna Carta in 1215. So we've got 900 years of tracing that system. And then they call it the Petit jury, which is the jury that hears trials and makes decisions. And that is the greatest invention for the protections of freedom. Grand juries, unfortunately, have become vestigial and almost a cover for prosecutors these days, as opposed to a shield against the citizenry. But regular juries still quite regularly find people not guilty when perhaps the government is overstepping its bounds. And so they're very, very important and useful elements of protecting our freedom still. And so, you were talking about saying every a different case and saying everybody knew he lied, and people in the media were saying, and people on both sides of the aisle are saying, but we don't know what happened in the courtroom.
Yes, sir.
We don't know what evidence the jury actually heard. There are things that are admissible in court for good reasons, long story, and there are things that are not admissible in court for good reason. And so there's a fair probability that the jury didn't hear some things that perhaps came out in the media, or they did hear things that the media ignored. Yeah. And so I wouldn't question their decision based on what one would say the common understanding or the general view of the world. What happens in the jury room is, or in the courtroom, is not necessarily what happens in the rest of the world.
I will say this, and I've talked to several, probably at least a half dozen guests that are in the D.C. area. And they, you know, are speaking to people in that community, and they've, you know, basically all come to the same conclusion, which is, if you're a conservative, don't have charges brought against you in D.C. You'll be guilty. Yeah. It doesn't matter. And if the case is associated with particular names, Trump being one of them, depending on which side of that you are on. If they assume that you are in some way related to or an ally of Trump, you're guilty. It doesn't matter what you did. It makes no difference. And if you are on the side that is opposing Trump, then you are innocent. And again, it doesn't matter what you did. So unfortunately, finding a jury pool in D.C. that is going to be fair and unbiased. This is coming from people that live there who are saying it's not possible to find an unbiased jury in D.C. It just like it's very difficult to find one in certain parts of New York for certain. You've got the same kind of animosity, if you will, that exists there. That Manhattan district, as an example, not only is the prosecutor, in office because he swore that he was going to take down the Trump name, but you've got jurists that are going to be sitting in that jury that are of the same mindset.
Yeah, this is problematic, although the real unfortunate part is that judges actually could see to it that that doesn't happen. The judges can control those kinds of things when when there's juror bias that shows up, and it's brought to the judge's attention by the defense counsel, and the judge sweeps aside the defense counsel's exceptions to a particular juror.
Yep.
I would still put it. I would put that on the judge in the end for allowing biased juries to be composed.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's difficulties, but nevertheless, you've got a large pool. If the judge has his eyes and ears on impartiality and fairness, then in fact you should still nevertheless come up with an unbiased jury. And if you fail to come up with an unbiased jury, I suggest that that lands at the feet of the judge. What they call voir dire, the process of selecting the jury, is designed to reveal biases and these kinds of problems.
Yep.
And if a judge is inclined to be open to creating an impartial jury, he has a lot of sway on what he does. That when you're selecting a jury, you have so many peremptory challenges. That is, you don't have to explain the challenge to a juror, and you can just kick them off. But once you're out of those, then you have to challenge jurors for cause. And quite regularly, if you challenge a juror for cause after asking them some questions that reveal bias, the judge can allow that juror to be excused. So I would suggest that the problem still ultimately turns out to be the judiciary failing to see to it that the composition of the jury is impartial.
And that's probably true. Although I this was one of the reasons that CPAC moved away from there. They came back there this year. But one of the reasons that CPAC moved away from there was because of the incredible bias against, any conservatives for several years, for at least 3 years. It was deemed to really kind of be unsafe. And I would still question whether or not it is safe. I mean, think about this. You've got Supreme Court justices whose homes have been targeted by activists. Several of them, death threats,
yeah.
Verifiable, legitimate, actual death threats. Because of their conservative views with Kavanaugh and Amy,
Coney Barrett.
Yeah. In particular, I think even, Gorsuch has had his, threats as well. So, Alito, but at any rate, the point of it is, and I know there's been a discussion too that Kagan and a couple of them have also had, things spoken against them as well. I want to be fair as far as pointing it out. No Supreme Court justice should be concerned about their own physical life and health and safety to the extent that it, would impact how they would decide what cases to hear and how those cases would go. That should not happen, and there should be security put in place to keep that from happening. That's just Pastor Greg's 2 cents worth.
It's been a danger of public life ever since Julius Caesar. It's unfortunate, and it's true. That's a part of the dark side of humanity.
But wouldn't you say that it has been, I agree. I mean, we've had attempts on presidents' lives. You can go back to President Reagan and what happened, in that situation. I mean, there have been attempted assassinations. Lincoln was assassinated. Kennedy was assassinated. You see, and there's been other situations, besides, icons like Robert Kennedy or Martin Luther King, or what have you. But my point is that I think today it seems to me, in my 60 years of life, that I've never seen what I'm watching today with, you know, doxing media. I mean, Tucker Carlson's wife having to hide in the bathroom because there's people pounding at the front door while he's sitting, you know, on air at Fox. Those kinds of things. This seems like we've crossed over into a different sphere than previously. And I say that, and I know you're not being dismissive with it, but when you're saying, well, you know, we've known this since Julius Caesar, I agree. But it seems to me that we are at a whole nother level relative to this attempt to intimidate, and that it's very similar, eerily similar, to what we saw in Nazi Germany.
I don't mean to be dismissive.
No. I knew that. I was not taking it that way at all. And you know, you are someone who has a long standing as a public servant as well. You have filled that role. You have held that position. And in doing so, when you took that oath, you also took on and understood the dangers that were associated with being principled and making the right decision and making the right call, and that there would be people that would be angry enough to make threats against you and to put potentially your life at risk. And I completely respect that. My question is this: does it seem to you like over the course of the last 6, 7, 8 years, we've elevated this to another level?
Let me tell you just from personal experience, fact is, of course, as you mentioned, I was a prosecutor. I put people in jail. I put bad people away. I prosecuted them. I had many colleagues that did the same thing, and many colleagues that either ran for other offices or ran for judge. Everybody in my positions that were doing that were always concerned on their political material to make sure that, even though it's very nice to put your family and your pictures of your wife and children and everything on your materials, people that were like myself were very reticent to do so because of the possible dangers associated with the jobs that we had, and what kind of danger it might put our families, our wives, our children in those kinds of positions. So, Greg, maybe that's why I'm not quite so.
Well, you know, you bring something up that I think is interesting relative to, and again, you know, everything is shaped by perspective. You were a prosecutor, and so therefore your opponents were criminals, crime bosses, crime rings. You had the potential of, you know, of prosecuting a situation that injured the criminal empire or criminal business of these individuals. And maybe the guy that you went after wasn't the one that was pulling all the strings, although that was the goal. But nonetheless, it hurt the organization, and therefore that puts a target on your back. So to that point, I respect that. Now, step away from that for a second, and let's just talk about the city council member. Let's just talk about the state legislator, or the guy sitting in Congress, or the senator. Let's talk about those individuals whose job it is to legislate. But certainly not to, they're not in direct contact with bad guys. They're not prosecuting bad guys. They're, you know, that's not their, what they're doing. They're supposed to be there for the good of the people. And yet today, if they don't make the right decision or say the right thing or use the right pronoun, they potentially are going to be in possibly a position of physical harm. That's what I mean. And to me, in my lifetime, that seems like an entirely different. I mean, there have been times, you know, I mean, I think back to, you know, being again from California in San Francisco. And it's interesting because it's very similar. The militant LGBTQ in San Francisco who threatened pastors, who threw Molotov cocktails into the bedrooms of pastors' homes who would not come along line and in alignment with, you know, with their sodomite ways. So it has happened before, but in an isolated way. Now it seems that it is very broad, and I think it's the reason why you see these corporations going quote-unquote woke. It's because certain individuals are being threatened and told, look, if you don't go woke, something may happen to your family.
I certainly can't speak to that last point. I have no information about that, but I would call your attention again. These are problems that have plagued humanity for a long, long time. And both sides have a nut. There's some crazy people associated with either team, dating back to what comes to mind is the San Francisco supervisor, Harvey Milk, who was in fact, one of the first publicly gay officials that got killed in San Francisco related to that. This is unfortunate and sad. I don't know that it's any worse than it's ever been because it's always you're always in danger when you're in the public life because there's always, unfortunately, a fringe element of society that thinks violence will, in fact, solve their issues. We have to be careful. We have to be secure. We have to be safe. Perhaps the dissemination of information that's around allows the situation to fester and aggravate. But again, I was in that, and it started out talking about judges, Supreme Court justices. Theoretically, they should be insulated as well from these kinds of problems. But if you're in public life, there is going to be some sort of screwball that disagrees with whatever it is that you're doing and thinks that perhaps they might be able to solve their particular animosities by taking you out. And it's sad. I hope to. I personally, like I said, because I was part of these discussions where people were running for judge or other offices and they're going, geez, should I put my family on these pictures because that's possible danger to my family? Should I have my children on Facebook so that they know who my kids are and stuff? These are problems that people that are involved in public life somehow these days are, in fact, They have to consider and have to think about.
No question. All right. Quick break. Then let's come back. We're going to do a rapid fire to close out our time together on SCOTUS and on what's going on over there. And as a caveat, just really quick to close this out too. There's no question. This is what sin nature does. This is what fallen man does. And it's the reason why our country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And it's the reason why our founders said that without a moral people, our Constitution is not created to contain an immoral mob. It's not. And laws are sufficient for moral people, because moral people will pay attention to the law. Immoral people don't. It's the same reason that we talk about the gun argument and we say, oh, let's take away all the guns. Well, the only people that are going to turn in guns are law-abiding citizens. They're the only ones that are going to be disarmed. Criminals will not be disarmed. Same story. Same exact story. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this break. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlight is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And my special guest is David Shostokas. There's some things about, just really quickly, on the Harvey Milk thing, because Harvey Milk was killed along with Mayor George Moscone by Dan White. Dan White used something called the Twinkie defense. was his initial thing, but at the end of the day, that situation really was Dan White had been fired, and Dan White wanted his job back, and Moscone decided that he wasn't going to give him his job back, and so he was a disgruntled ex-employee who killed the person who wouldn't hire him and killed the other person who had the most influence in that decision regarding his hiring. Now, at Harvey Milk, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that the reality is, again, just like the reality of the LGBTQ, and that is that Harvey Milk was a pedophile and not a good person by any stretch of the imagination.
Perhaps not, but that doesn't give some.
I'm not.
Right to kill him.
I'm not justifying the murder. Yeah. But what I am saying is that he was not a martyr. He was not martyred because of LGBTQ.
Okay.
There's not a connectivity between those two. That's a false narrative that the LGBTQ community wants to, just like the Matthew Shepard case. Matthew Shepard case had nothing to do with him being a homosexual. It had to do with the drugs. But that was promoted as, oh, he was killed because he was a homosexual. Milk wasn't killed because he was a homosexual. Milk was killed along with Moscone because of the influence that he had relative to Dan White being rehired as a member of council.
So it's dangerous to be a city council member.
There you go. I agree. And it was certainly, and again, isolated cases versus now on a much broader scale, you know, the issue of doxing. Okay. I mean, that was something that was not happening 30, 40 years ago.
The tools weren't available.
Yeah. And it is today, you know, and you know, 30, 40 years ago, you knew that you needed to, you know, you got within a few blocks of your office, you knew it was time to turn on and really be aware of your surroundings and what's going on. Not that you wouldn't be otherwise, but even more so because they knew where you worked.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just knowing where you work, but it's knowing that while you're at work, they may go after your family at your house because some idiot put your address and all your information out, even if you were trying to protect them. Anyway, let's jump on to the to the Supreme Court situation. So we've got several cases. There's an affirmative action case. There's a Voting Rights Act case. There's an LGBTQ, this is how they phrase it in NPR, LGBTQ rights case. And then there's a Sunday work at USPS case. I think you and I have talked briefly about that before.
We did speak about that briefly, yes.
And then there's a, they're calling it a true threats case. Supreme Court term revisits the question the courts never answered. What is a threat, a true threat? What does the prosecution have to prove? Does it have to show the defendant intended to frighten his target? Or is it enough to show that his words would have that effect on a reasonable person? Coles Whalen, a singer-songwriter from Colorado, and Billy Counterman, a man convicted and sentenced to 4.5 years in prison for stalking Whalen and making true threats against her. The case was heard in April.
Yeah, well, that becomes, actually, strangely enough, kind of a First Amendment sort of issue. Also, also what they call mens rea when it comes to criminal charges, because typically, you have to have a particular state of mind to be convicted of a crime. And a particular state of mind is either that you intended to do something or you were so negligent as to you should have known the problem with that. And these kinds of issues, when you talk about true threat, is what was the intent of the individual when they were saying something.
Mm-hmm.
But I suspect the standard's still going to wind up to be, in any event, that you can infer the intent by what a reasonable person would garner from the information surrounding the making of the threat.
Right.
Because nobody ever really knows exactly what's going on in somebody's mind unless they write out a confession or they leave a note and say, I'm intending to kill so-and-so. Absent that, we always utilize evidence surrounding the conduct of the individual and what a reasonable person can infer from that. So I suspect that will wind up being the being the basis of the decision on that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's jump to affirmative action. Now this particular case, and it's really poorly written by NPR, but as I understand it, this has a lot to do with our Asian friends and the fact that Harvard, because of affirmative action, even though the Asian student might have higher grades, better grades, work harder, all those things, they're not getting in to these elite schools. And those positions are being filled by individuals who have lower test scores and in some instances, you know, end up not getting through or whatever. It doesn't really matter. But the point of it is that it's not a merit-based system. And that's really what this is about.
Yeah, well, it's been a problem for about 45 years now, ever since Bakke versus California. Where the Supreme Court originally allowed the use of race-based considerations in admissions to schools that are receiving federal money, which of course is interesting too. Why is Harvard getting any federal money? And Harvard's got billions of dollars in their foundation and whatnot. They can fund anything they want to. If they wanted to, like Hillsdale, they could give up getting federal money. Then they could let in and out whoever they want. But that's a separate issue. But yeah, here becomes the problem Harvard obviously is not conducting their admissions process in a colorblind fashion because they are in fact limiting to a certain percentage the number of Asian Americans that can be admitted, or they are increasing the number of other races that they think should be admitted in the name of diversity. And so I don't know why diversity is a goal in and of itself in any event. It seems to me that a university is supposed to have diversity of what? Thought. Diversity of thought, not necessarily diversity of immutable genetics. And so I suspect that the Asian American plaintiffs in that case are going to be successful.
The other one I want to get in real quick, got about 2 minutes on this, but this is 303 Creative versus Alanis. The case pits, they claim two constitutional principles against each other. On one side are the laws that guarantee same-sex couples equal access to businesses. On the other, business owners who see themselves as artists and don't want to use their talents to express a message they don't believe in, which is really a light way of saying the issue here is one of morals and one of conscience and one of religious freedom and freedom of expression. And they, to my belief, under the First Amendment, should have a defense to be able to not have to participate in something that they are morally or have a conscious objection to.
Yeah, they start that off from an improper constitutional premise, saying that there are two constitutional principles at issue here. There are not two constitutional issues at issue here, because what the government is trying to do in this instance is compel speech. They're trying to say that an artist must say something that the artist does not agree with. That's the only constitutional principle involved in this case. Freedom of speech is two things. It's one, you're free to say what you want, but you're also free from having the government say that you must say something. And there's no principle on the other side that's in any way, shape, or form ever says that you must say something. Providing services is a bit different in terms of discrimination. If somebody wants to come in and have dinner or things like that, none of that involves your saying that you condone whatever it is that is involved in their lifestyle. But in this situation, they're saying that Colorado is saying a web designer must design a website for somebody with whom she disagrees. That's the only constitutional principle involved. There are not two principles. There's just the one that the government may not compel speech. Colorado is obviously a very strange place.
No question. Because this is already decided for them in the Masterpiece Cake case.
Yeah.
And yet they're back in front of the court again, basically defying the court to stand on its own merit and on its own decision that it's already made. David, thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it. Folks, hour number two is coming up right after this. Stay tuned for more Chosen Generation Radio.